When you look at those charts, those statistics, that means that people are making decisions every day. And the majority of people who come to church are not trying to center it around the Word of God. That people are making major decisions about their life, and it's not rooted and grounded in regular Bible reading or their own personal devotion.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us for the first half of How to Use the Word of God to Find the Will of God from our series, Answering Your Questions About the Will of God. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of How to Use the Word of God to Find the Will of God.
I think about how stuff that we go through sometimes, and that God is right there loving us, you know, through all of it. You know, this is not a part of the message, but as you know, I've been dealing with some back issues, and you know, I just was doing some research, and all of a sudden this message came up from Pastor Rick Warren, and the title of the message was How God Uses Our Pain. And I just sat there and I was like, man, Lord, I mean, I wasn't looking for it. I wasn't researching that subject, that topic, and it just came up. And he was sharing how that he's had two surgeries, and he has extreme pain in both of his arms and both of his legs. And he hasn't preached for over 2 months in his pulpit. And he just began to meditate on pain, and he's doing a series right now, four-part series on pain, and I was able to look at that first message, and I just thought to myself, Lord, you knew exactly what I needed. You knew exactly what I needed, and I may have to preach this message and just give him credit for it. But I, the only thing I'm mad at Rick Warren about is that I didn't think of this message first. I mean, it's just a powerful message. And one of the things that he says that pain never leaves you where it found you. Pain never leaves you where it found you. You know, it's either going to take you to a higher height, or, you know, you're going to, as he said, and I had to laugh when I heard him say this. He said that we try to squirm out of it. And I know that was me. I'm trying to squirm out of it. And sometimes, you know, you got to go through. And God gives you what you need as you go through it. And God knew that I needed that message. And that's been carrying me through. I must have listened to that message about 5 times. And every time I go back and listen to it, I get something different out of it. And it's something that God uses to sustain me in this time of being in the house of pain. Well, we've been doing a series, and this is the last message on the will of God. And we've been answering your questions about the will of God. You know, there's a place in 1 Peter where God says that it's his will sometimes that we suffer. And we don't want to hear that message, right? You know, we want to hear it's his will for us to prosper, to be in good health. That's the message that we want to hear. But sometimes it is the will of God that we suffer. So we've been answering questions about the will of God. And so here's some of the questions that we've been dealing with. What is the will of God? And we said that the will of God is what God purposes, what God determines is going to take place. What has God clearly revealed about his will? Well, there are many things that he's revealed, but you know, we know that he said that his will is that we are saved, sanctified, and spirit-filled. How do I discover the will of God for my life? You know, what we dealt with things such as, you know, where should I go to college at? Who should I marry? What type of vehicle should I drive? What kind of house should I live in? You know, we dealt with some of the big picture things, God's will for my life. What job should I have? You know, should I go on the mission field? You know, we talked about how do I discover God's will in those areas? And then we talked about how to decide the will of God in the gray areas. You know, areas such as listening to secular music. Is it God's will for us to listen to secular music? What about, and here's one that I get on hard questions all the time, and that is it okay to have a tattoo? Get that one all the time. So, you know, is that the will of God, you know, for me to put some ink on my body that is going to send a message to those who see it? So how do you decide God's will in those areas? This is what we're going to deal with today as we close out this series, and that is how do you use the Word of God to find the will of God? How do you use the Word of God to find out the will of God? I wanted to start out by showing two graphs. And in these graphs, I know it may be a little difficult for you to see, but they did a survey. Barna, you know, and he's well known for doing surveys among religious people. And in this survey, Barna looked at the frequency that people use their Bible on their own. And you know, that's without coming to church or, you know, without going to a Bible study. And this is what he concluded in the United States among adults, that 11% daily use their word. 5% 4 to 6 times a week. 9% 2 to 3 times a week. And another 9% once a week. 8% once a month. 3 or 4 times a year, 8%. Once or twice a year, 8%. Less than once a year, 13%, and never, people who never use their Bible on their own, 29%. So as you look at the first two, which would be daily, which would be 7 days a week or 4 to 6 times a week, you're looking at 16% of people. You know, now this is just talking about people in general. But perhaps the more alarming chart or graph is this one right here. And this is Protestant church growers, church goers, not growers, that 19%, now we're talking about people that like you that are here today, right? That are here today. 19% read their Bible every day. 26% a few times a week. 14% once a week, 22% at least once a month, and 18% rarely or never. So if you'll go to the next slide, a quote by William R. Glaze. Sadly, it seems that most people's decision-making, even the majority of church-going Protestants, is not being greatly influenced by the Bible. Wow. When you look at those charts, those statistics, that means that people are making decisions every day. And the majority of people who come to church are not trying to center it around the Word of God. That people are making major decisions about their life, and it's not rooted and grounded in regular Bible reading or their own personal devotional time. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, maybe sometimes people, when they get ready to make a decision, that's when, you know, they go to the Word of God. That's when they go to the Bible. You know, it's like I was telling you the first time I preached the message about the guy who was standing. He was trying to find the will of God, and he put his Bible on the table in front of an open window. And the wind blew, and he stuck his finger on a verse, and it said that Judas went out and hung himself. And then he said, well, I don't want that one right there. So he let the wind blow again and stopped. The page stopped. He stuck his finger down. It said, go and do thou likewise. He said, no, I don't want that one either. So he let it blow one more time, and it stopped. And he put his finger down. It said, what thou doest, do quickly. So, you know, maybe some people, that's the extent of their decision making when it comes to the Word of God. It's just a flippant attitude like that. And so this really grieves my spirit, because I believe that if we're making major decisions about our health, if we're making major decisions about our career, about things that are important to us, and we are making them outside of the Word of God, then that means that I have to question whether or not, now we may still be in the will of God, but we know that when we are basing what we decide on the will of God, on the Word of God, that it's more likely that we will be in the will of God. We must be in the Word of God as we search for the will of God. We must be in the Word of God as we search for the will of God. Psalm 119 and verse 18. Open thou my eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Psalm 119, 133. Order my steps in thy word. And we sing the song, order my steps in your word, dear Lord. Lead me, guide me every day. Father, your anointing, I pray. Order my steps in your word. And you know, I've found that when I'm in the Word of God, I might not even be looking for anything. But God will just begin to pour ideas. He'll begin to pour thoughts. He'll begin to pour things that he has for me to do. And that's why I tell people all the time that when you have your devotion time, you should always have a pen and a piece of paper, so that it's that important to you, what God is speaking to you about, what God is saying, and that you want to write it down. Order my steps. Lord, I want to do your will. I don't want to do my will. I want to do what you say, and I want to do it your way. Lord, let me order my steps in your word. Lord, the psalmist said, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You know, and you know, the reason that the psalmist uses that imagery is because a lot of times during David's day, they would walk the roads at night, and there would be crevices and cracks in the road and holes in the road. And sometimes there would even be a mess in the road, right? And so the psalmist had a lamp that was able to shine on the path so that they didn't step in any mess. And I find that when I seek God's word, that he keeps me from stepping in mess. He keeps me from walking down paths that I shouldn't walk. He stops me from going in a path that's contrary to his will. When was the last time? And let's be honest. Let's all check our hearts. When was the last time you had to make a major decision in your life? Were you in the Word of God when you did it? Were you looking for God to speak to you from His Word when you had made that decision? Oh, I'm not saying that you were going to find a verse that said, this is the car you should buy, this is the house you should buy, this is the job you should take, this is the mission trip. I'm not saying this, but you know what? There's a confirmation of the Spirit that when you're in the Word of God, that God confirms in your heart that this is the way that He wants you to walk. I love Abraham when he was looking for a bride for Isaac. And he sent his servant Eleazar to his homeland to find a bride for Isaac. And I love this verse right here. I love this verse. It says right here, and he said, when he found Rebekah, he said, blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. Look at this. Look at this. I, being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. I, being in the way. See, being in the Word of God puts us in the way of God, which which leads us to the will of God. And so I would ask the question. Let me ask the question. Are you in the way or are you in the way? Are you in the way? Are you walking in the way that God would have you to go? Or are you walking in your own way and missing out what God has for your life? See, that's the importance of the Word of God and being in the Word of God, because being in the Word of God puts us in the way of God, which leads us to the will of God. I, being in the way. I have what I wanted to share in the rest of this message. 10 commandments for using the Word of God to find the will of God. Now, I'm going to say this, that I'm only going to cover 5 of them, all right? And then next week we're moving on to something else because, you know, we're getting ready to move into another season. But I do have the notes. You got them back there, Queen? All right. And they have all 10 commandments. All 10 commandments for using the Word of God to find the will of God. So even though I'm only going to cover 5, you want to walk out of here with all 10. The first commandment, thou shalt rightly divide the word of God to discover the will of God. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The phrase rightly dividing comes from the Greek word orthotomeo, and it means to make a straight cut. It means to make a straight cut. So in other words, what Paul is telling Timothy, if you're going to cut it, you better cut it straight. If you're going to cut the word of God, you better cut it straight. And you better not be trying to make the Word of God say something that the Word of God is not saying. And people, you know, are good, and they'll manipulate the Word of God to try to manipulate the will of God. You know, I don't know how many times I've heard somebody say that God was leading them to marry a particular individual. Now, I have to be careful when I say this, because I know a statement like this can backfire. But I'm just going to throw it out there. And the person didn't know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, right? And so the Word of God is clear on that. Now, I'm going to say this because I've had people tell me this. Well, Pastor, I married somebody that was unsaved, and God used that. God used that to bring that person to Christ. And, you know, God has given us a good marriage, okay? But I'm still saying that from Jump Street, God says in His Word that we should not be yoked. A believer should not be yoked with an unbeliever. You know, to me, the Word of God is clear on that. But, you know, people manipulate and read things into the Bible and put things there that shouldn't be there. And so Paul told Timothy, if you're going to cut the Word, then you better cut it straight. You better say what the Word of God is saying. If you are looking at God's will for your life, then you better say what God is saying and not what you want to happen and not what you feel needs to happen. So that's commandment number one. If you're going to use the Word of God to discover the will of God, that you've got to rightly divide the Word of God. Commandment number two. You shall not take the Word of God out of context to find the will of God. Now, here's where I get in trouble, right? Because I know, as a matter of fact, I have this verse on the bathroom, I mean, on the wall in my bathroom, Jeremiah 29, 11, right? So, but I'm just trying to show you how, unless you study the Word of God, you can take the Word of God out of context. You got to know what's going on before the verse and after the verse. You just can't extract a verse and then claim that verse. You need to extract it in the context. Jeremiah 29, 11. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. And again, I got this verse on the wall in my bathroom, right? But if you read before the verse and you read after the verse, it's talking to Israel. Oh, you got quiet on me now. Got quiet on me. All right? You got quiet on me. Go back and read Jeremiah 29. The Israelites are in Babylonian captivity. And God has given them a word of encouragement to let them know you want to be there for 70 years and that you can squirm like I was trying to do, squirm out of my pain. You know, you can wiggle. You can try to jump over, go around it. But the fact of the matter is that you're going to be there for 70 years. And I just want to let you know that I know the thoughts that I have towards you. And I'm going to bring you toward expected end. Now, can we use that principle to apply it? By all means. By all means, we can use that principle and apply it to our lives. That God wants to lead you to an expected end. That God wants the best for your life. But again, if you read the context, put Jeremiah 29:11 in the context, it's not a verse that you can personally claim.
Thank you for joining in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of how to use the Word of God to find the will of God. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, how to use the Word of God to find the will of God, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request how to use the Word of God to find the will of God. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request how to use the Word of God to find the will of God from our series, Answering Your Questions About the Will of God. Or you can call us at 877-831-5060. Keep in mind, the entire series is made available by request. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Galais. Dr. Glaze is the author of 10 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm Sonia Hall reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.